Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, Rob and I are speaking to Ashton Booth. And for those of you that don't know Ashton, him and I actually went to high school together, but actually, like, we were just talking about it. We think it was actually like kindergarten. So, like prehistoric times, man. Mrs. Rachinsky. Yeah. Kindergarten, long time ago. But anyways, here we are. We're talking today about fulfillment, and we're talking today about career shifts, career changes in life. And I think this is going to be a really good conversation because I feel like it's going to be really relatable to a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people are sometimes in a weird position where they're working a job or they're in a career that they're maybe not fully happy in, but they don't want to make the switch. So I think Ashton's unique situation is he is making the switch. So first of all, man, thank you so much for coming on today and making the time. I'm looking forward to this.
Let's address the elephant in the room over here, too. Ashton did move that bench press into the back of the shot beforehand. Yeah, that wasn't the there before.
Yeah.
So if he sounds out of breath, that's what it is.
For those of you that are listening, there is a, like, it looks like a 1980s bench press.
It's an old bench press.
There's like the duct tape on it. He's like, and I don't know, when we hopped on the pod, he was all sweaty.
And of course, the bar is like full. Like, it's like, like maxed you have all of the plates that you could fit onto this thing in the back. And it's very fitting.
There's still like a tag hanging off it. Like, it's brand new, though, man. I don't know. Have you used it yet? Like,
bought 20 years ago, never used once.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. First of all, I'll kick this thing off. Let's do a little intro. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about yourself. What made you want to get into personal training?
Okay, well, so like you already know, my name's Ashton. I've always been on and off with training ever since I was allowed to at 14, where you had to go and get a license to be a minor and work out in the gym. And it was just like sitting in class, learning how to do things. And I was always on and off with the gym, and I could never stick to it. It was something I wanted, but it wasn't something I wanted to work for. I always wanted to be fit, you know, and I just never got to that. And then finally, I got to a point in my life where I reached out for help, which is Bryce here. And that was on November 24th of 2023 is when I asked him for help. And I've been with him ever since. And from making that one small action of just saying, hey, I need help, I'm out of control, can you help me? I've completely changed my life around. I'm switching careers. I'm going into the personal training business myself. I fell in love with not just fitness, but everything that's involved in it. You know, when I started working out, I did not think I would be going to my trainer and being like, let me tell you about my life, you know? So it almost became like therapeutic, and it is therapeutic. I look forward to every Friday, seeing them every Friday, and just not only hitting new PRs and talking about goals, but talking about life and just being able to relate to somebody and have somebody give me that feedback and let me know that I'm not alone. That was a big attraction to this because I feel like there's so many people that don't start or are scared to start because they go, well, I'm going to be alone. It's like, you don't have to be alone though. You can get help. So when I started seeing this come into play in my own life, I was like, this is what I want to do for other people. I want to give them this chance to grow and be comfortable in something that they might not be comfortable in. And if I can help in that, that's awesome.
Man, you hit so many things on that I feel like really passionate about too, that really remind me of like my journey into it as well. I want to go back for a second though. You had to get a license to go to the gym as a 14-year-old?
Yeah, so I need more information there. You have to take this course because you're 14 when you can take this, right?
Yeah.
And they tell you like, okay, don't be putting 400 pounds on the bar and crushing yourself. This is how you use a spotter.
Okay.
If you don't have time to stretch, you don't have time to work out, those kinds of things, right? It was just mainly teaching you about responsibility.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And like that probably helps everybody in the gym. Oh, the 14-year-olds are coming.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, may I ask you a follow-up question on that? Mm-hmm. Of what was, and as personal as you'd like to get on it, I totally respect it, but what was kind of that motivating, not a rock bottom, but like what really made you want to get in to the gym? Like, what was the big, big thing?
So are we talking most recently or are we talking back in the past?
When you wanted to, or either or, whatever you feel like chatting about too, or even like why you reached out to Bryce. So, what started that ball moving?
I'm very comfortable talking about my life. If I want people to be open and honest with me, I got to be open and honest with everybody. I grew up as the fat kid. I'm still a heavy guy. And I was bullied for that. That's what started me wanting to go to the gym at such a young age, right? But I didn't have any guidance. So in November of 2023, like all things, like most men, I went through a pretty rough breakup. And, you know, you get that toxic motivation of, well, I'm going to go get jacked and she's going to miss out on that, right? That's what started this. So like, low key, shout out to her. She did wonders for me. So yeah, I reached out to Bryce because I remember this exactly. I was playing a video game, talking to my friends, and I had fucking Ritz cracker crumbs all over my chest. And I was looking at you like this, like the fucking World of Warcraft South Park guy, right? And I opened up Facebook and Bryce had made a post of whatever it was. And I sat there and in that moment, I don't know what you want to call it, but something clicked and it was like, just send a message. The worst thing he says is, I don't have space for you. I have too many clients because he's super popular. but I did it. I was in such a terrible spot that I was like, what else do I have to lose? You know, I'm heartbroken. I'm out of shape. I couldn't go up a flight of stairs without having to stop at the top and catch my breath. And I just, I shot that message. And now we're here.
That's awesome, man. That's all. It's crazy what you can get out of a breakup. Probably the most success of your life. Like, yeah, I know that motivating factor, you know?
I once heard this quote that if you ever want to get in the gym, get into a really good relationship and then have that person leave you, and that will start your gym arc.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sure a comedian said that. I don't recommend that advice to
anybody. Bryce, what did you think when this guy first reached out to you?
Well, first of all, I think one piece that he left out that I think was really important to kind of like touch upon and share is that you sat on that message for like 3 days.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like if for people that are listening too, that are maybe at that place where they like have something drafted up and they haven't officially sent it yet, like you're not alone. Like that's something that is pretty common and that's something that's pretty normal, but I also want to encourage you to do what Ashton did and take a chance because, you know, it's totally normal and it's great to ask for help. And I think people, especially men, have a tough time asking other men for help. And that's the first thing is I wanted to like really applaud that because you were very honest, you were very transparent. And like when we first met, you were very receptive and you were just like super ready to just start. And you were at a place that you knew that your life had to change. And I think that is like one of the first pieces of it is being at a place where you've really acknowledged and accepted where your life is currently at. And within that, you're ready to actually do what needs to be done to make the change. And I think another piece too that we should probably talk about is like the first session that you like threw up?
Yeah, it was the first session that I threw up.
So like the very, I think it was the actual first, because obviously we met at a Tim Hortons first. It was like a local one, because I wanted to like...
Well, that's why you threw up, man. I'm just talking about
Yeah.
I wanted to like make him feel comfortable. So we actually met at like a Tim Hortons. We actually just like caught up, you know, because obviously we knew each other from high school too. So we just like caught up. I kind of figured out like why he was wanting to actually train. And then from there, we actually went to the gym. Like I think it was a session or two after that.
Yeah.
And the first official workout, he like got sick and threw up. And I remember like us just sitting, this is when we were both at Evolve still.
Yeah.
I remember just like sitting with you on like the treadmill by the back door. And I was just thinking to myself too, I was like, oh man, this is like a make or break for some people.
Yeah.
Like this is either going to be that one pinnacle moment where someone is like, I'm going to stop. Or this is that pinnacle moment where someone's like, I'm going to continue and I'm going to keep going. And I mean, luckily for you, you know, saw it as an opportunity to persevere and keep going, but I don't think everyone would have seen it that way. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to give yourself a lot of credit for that too. Cause I think like being that early on into your fitness career and having there be some like adversity that you're looking at in the face like that, right? And you chose to keep going. That's huge. And I think that makes you relatable too, because you're likely going to have clients that are going to be like, they're going to have a first workout and it's going to be dog shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're going to have to be like, yo, dude, I've been here. I threw up my very first session. I sat by garbage on a treadmill with my trainer. Yeah. And like, I've been there, you know?
And that'll go so far, so mm-hmm. far. And even just sitting here chatting to you, man, you can tell you got the personality for it and everything, which brings me to my next point. What in that journey and that feeling, let's go from the throw up.
Okay.
Right from the very second of the outburst, okay. the throw up. Okay. Sorry, anyone listening is like just turning it off right now. Yeah, all the stats like, come done. In and just like, damn, hard stop right here. from that moment to where we are today, talking about you becoming one of us. Tell us about that.
So you know what? When that throw up happened, there's a couple things that Bryce doesn't know that I was going through. I was in that bathroom. I was holding on for dear life. I was like, this is how I die. This is it.
Welcome to hell.
Fuck. My vision was closing in. I was losing it. I'm hanging out the door. I'm yelling at this Jack dude. Can you find my trainer? Because I'm in the back corner, right? I got this other dude telling me to put my fucking legs up in the air and increase blood flow. And, you know, everybody's like, are you going to fucking make it? Like, it was a big deal for me. And I'm dying. And Bryce is like, you're going to be okay. Here's this Gatorade. And I'm like, oh, I'll pay back. He's like, just fucking drink the Gatorade, right?
Yeah.
And at that moment, I realized that this was a wake-up call. I had thought that I was healthy. I thought that I was in a good position. When I went into that gym that day, I was like, I'm going to do my workout. I'm going to do awesome. I'm going to bench 315. No problem.
Right? That was the goal coming into the first workout?
Yeah, of course.
I want to bench 315. We're chilling. That's so sick, man.
So, you know, but when I was sitting there and he's talking to me and he's telling me all these things like, hey, you're going to be okay. Like, don't look at this as in a negative light. Just know that this happens. I throw up, you know, he's feeding me all the lines and I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is a fucking wake up call. And I could have gone home and I could have quit. Definitely thought about it. Definitely could have just sat on my computer and had Ritz crackers all over me. But I was like, I need to do this. I need to make myself better. I need to get better. You know, I always like to say that I have 28 years of abuse on my body because I never really took care of it. And going from session to session, day to day, you start to see things in the gym. You know, when you first go in, it's very intimidating. There's all these jacked dudes, pretty girls, and you're just like, man, you're just there. You're just like, hi. And every day I kind of saw people open up more. And then you start talking to some of these people and you get to know them. You get to know the front staff and you get involved in the culture. And that's where I really started to get sucked in. Before we left Evolve, I had a funny thought come into my head. I was like, what if I was a personal trainer? And I brushed it off to the side because I was set in going to my job, working there till I died. And, as we moved on to the vault, I started to meet more people. And oh my God, the communication, the watching everybody work out, the overhearing conversations that trainers were having with clients. I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's not just on a physical level, it's on a mental level. And I love talking to people with their mental health issues or just issues they are having in life, whether it be relationship or finances. I love talking to them about that. And, you know, you hear this and then you're talking about it with your trainer and you're just growing. And I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. This isn't just come in, make people work out, go home. Let's come in, help people work out, help people feel better. And that was the selling point for me, man. I'm not in this for myself. I'm in this for everybody else.
Yeah, man. It's interesting as you're saying that too. Like I used to always say there was kind of when it comes to trainers, and I've been doing it for about like kind of 12, 15 years now. And it was always like, you know, I played hockey growing up. So when I found it again, I was like, ah, you know, I'll work on hockey players. This is something else I did. There's that route. There's usually the route of like the bodybuilding people that are like, oh man, like I did a show. Now I'm going to be a trainer. Or there's, you know, this love for like human movement and kinesiology, but there's definitely this emerging stat I'm seeing of people that became trainers because they're trainer. Mm-hmm. They had a trainer and it was awesome. And you realize it's I leave work and I'm like, I have fooled the world. And like at one point I was in a big band. This is better, man. Like this is the best job. Like you go to bed being like, I only help people, had a shit ton of laughs today. And like, honestly, like connected on a human level and on such a deep level too. Mm-hmm. And it's the best, man. You can't beat it.
Another thing that I forgot to mention in that with this training is I'm really excited to have clients and have them go through what I've gone through, as in managing calories, having those really good weeks and then having those really bad weeks and coaching them through it. And just the mental of being in the gym. Like we all wake up and we're like, I don't want to go today. I want to relax. Like I want to say that I've been through almost every trial that comes with the health and fitness world. Like at one point I wanted to do bodybuilding. Then I wanted to do powerlifting. Then I wanted to focus on losing weight. Then I wanted to focus on nutrition. And I kind of found my place where it's like, yeah, I just want to focus on being the best that I can be. I don't need a concrete route to go. I can just come in, do what I got to do, and feel good about myself. And I'm excited to kind of pass that knowledge on to whoever comes to me looking for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's been, I mean, you and I have talked about this in great detail too, right? It's been really cool though, seeing you change and from it initially being this whole like revenge arc to now being like this one thing that is very like ever encompassing, and it's like it's impacted your entire life, right? And it's cool to see that shift within you, because like I mean, when I first met you, you were quite spiteful, you wanted to get back at her for what happened, and like I get that, right? We've all been there for sure. But it's cool to have seen you grow and change and like let go of a lot of that and realize that you're doing this for the right reasons. And like a while back, I was listening to a podcast and they were mentioning how like spite could be the best igniter in the beginning. Like they can burn that candle so bright and get you started. And like sometimes people need that to get kickstarted. But if they're just driving that off of spite, then the candle will burn out fast. You have to get really clear on your why, and like you did for sure, which has been really cool to see and be like a part of. And it's been really sweet seeing you grow and shift over the past like year and a half.
Thank you.
What are the biggest things you've noticed as and like the eternal shift? Like what's really changed in these times?
So on the inside? The biggest things I've noticed is number one, for sure, taking pictures of myself in general. Before, I would avoid it like the plague. Or if you took a photo of me, it was neck up. That was it. That's all I wanted. Now I come home and I walk past my kitchen island mirror and I'm, oh my God, yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm enjoying myself. I'm happy. I have that confidence that I didn't have before. I would have people give me compliments way before I started working out. And they would say like, oh, you're so handsome. And I'd be like, thank you, but I'm not. I'm not handsome at all. Like, thanks, but no, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah. Now when somebody says, you know, you're handsome, I'm like, thanks. I know, you know, like I feel good about myself. I feel good about myself. That was the biggest change for me, was actually taking photos and being at the gym and being like, I've got a little bit of an arm pump. I'm going to take a photo of that. Wow. Beforehand, I'd be so embarrassed to be in that space and do it. And just getting in touch with myself has built my confidence tenfold. Doing this has built my confidence tenfold. Another thing that I've changed in my life since starting this whole process is my mental state, not just on the confidence end, but learning things like I've relied so heavily on external validation. I needed somebody else to validate me to feel good about myself. Now that I recognize these patterns, I'm able to give myself the validation that I want to get, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm able to wake up and say, you are good at what you do. You do put in the effort. You do care. You look great. Whatever negative thing I have to say about myself, I now am able to say the opposite, the positive thing, and give myself that encouragement that I would constantly seek from others.
And that, yeah, that's it. that, like, that I can't imagine anything more important than that, and like the knowing of oneself, and like the external world reflects your insides, you know, and how you feel about everything. So that is even as if I ever needed more validation to love the career I have, but that's exactly it, man. And it's like, listening to you talk about it, I can feel the feelings coming up for me of when I started to uncover that there could be something that would make me as happy as being a touring musician back in the day. Because when that ended, I thought, how will I ever love anything again? I like, my candle has burnt out at 23. Like, this is impossible. But yeah, it's the same thing. I changed as a person in there, felt better in every possible way. And it's just, and now that the fact that you want to like pass that on to others and, you know, take up your own career with it too, that I can't imagine anything more magical than that.
It's truly something special to me, you know, the fact that I am able to take this leap, and as Bryce says, you know, I jumped off the cliff and I started building the plane on the way down, you know. Oh, it's every day cool. I'm learning new things, right? The fact that I took this leap showed me that I'm capable of whatever I actually set my mind to. Many times in the past, I would start something, hit that wall, and go, well, I guess I tried. Since 2023, I've been knocked down more times than I can count, but I've gotten up more times than I ever have before. And I've just kept going, no matter if I failed 2 tests in a row, trying to get myself into the position that I am now, whether it's quitting my job of 8 years. I was with that company a long time. And like I was saying before the podcast, you know, I got a tattoo because I love that job so much. It's a little forklift that says, "You lift me up."
Oh, man, and, that's awesome.
Yeah, I loved my job. And, you know, it got to a point to where I was able to recognize that I wasn't loving my job. I was constantly at work. Like, I want to go work out. I want to go to the vault. I want to see people. I want to just chit chat, work out, and get involved in this space. And that's what led me to making this leap. Like I said,
was it a slow little kind of idea in your head that was like kind of whispering there, being like, ooh, like that could be an idea? Or was there like a hard stop of like forklifts in park, keys in the ignition, let's go, we're done here? Like, what did that moment feel like?
So there was definitely a slow buildup. Like I said, when we were training at Evolved, the thought came into my head of, what if I was a personal trainer? And I quickly brushed it aside like it was a pipe dream. You know what I mean? And as time went on, I was like, wait a minute. He's doing things I love to do. He's communicating with people. He's helping people. And then seeing his client testimonies and hearing other clients other than me, what's the word I'm looking for? Just speak and say, you know, he's helped me with not only the physical properties, but the mental properties as well. And it's like, oh my God, like, he's doing this for multiple people. He's changed my life, and now he's changing other people's lives. And I was like, I want that. I want the ability to help.
Awesome, man. That's so rad. Did you do the full 2 weeks, or are you just out of there?
I did give him the full 2 weeks. Yeah, you know, sure. it was a buildup. Like, I think I knew probably 4 months prior before leaving.
Yeah.
And a couple people in my work knew that it was coming, and then I went all the way until the new year. And then once the new year came in, it was hard stop. I'm out. Bye.
I don't know why I celebrate quitting job stories so much. I think it was just growing up in like these punk rock bands, and we'd like, you'd get a job for like 3 weeks. If you had my, like, I become friends with people pretty easily, and I like get tight with these people knowing in my head, like, okay, come Friday, I'm going on tour and you're never going to see me again. Hated that. Hated that. But yeah, that's so cool, man. Has there been any like, oh God, what have I done moments?
100%. 100%, man. I'm always very careful and cautious with money. And I worry about it constantly. And when I quit my job and I got home and I was like, yeah, I'm free, Amelia was like, okay, I got to start planning out my funds. Because who knows how long until I get into this, right? Because I got to go through the whole course, take the test, pass, get a job. That was my oh shit moment.
Yeah.
You know, that was my big worry. And obviously we're fine, you know, no problems. I got over that hurdle real easily because the end goal of becoming a trainer is bigger than the problems that come before.
Yeah. I would I wanted to ask you a question quickly. So for someone that was like maybe in your position, right, just maybe in like a different circumstance where they weren't really happy, they weren't really fulfilled, and they knew they were destined for something different, from your own experience, how would you suggest that they actually start trying to change their life? Because I feel like a lot of people, and I'm sure you could probably agree to this too, are like, I would love to do that. Oh man, I would love to do that. I hate my job. I would love to do something different, but I can't. But I can't, right? And it's sad because it's even people our age too, like mm-hmm. late 20s, right? They're like, they feel like they're locked into something now. And it's like, how would you help somebody work through that?
Well, there's three different approaches you kind of got to look at. So there's the approach that I took where I just threw caution to the wind and jumped right into it. Said, screw it. You know, sometimes you got to jump off that cliff. You got to take that leap of faith and you got to hope that it all plays out the way you want.
Yep.
Or you do it in small increments and you build up to it. You know, one day at a time, build up to it. Keep going for that dream while keeping your other things that are happening in your life. You know, whether it's positive or negative, working on those while working on moving forward. You know, whether you're facing relationship issues or you don't like your job, whatever it may be, work on that, but also work on going forward.
Yeah.
Another reason, and you said, well, I can't quit my job. I'm locked in. Start looking at the reasons on why you say you can't quit. And then start looking at the reasons saying, well, why I can quit. Why can I quit? Why can't I quit? Why can I quit? And start putting them side by side, and you'll start to realize that you can quit. You can take that leap of faith, or you can take that leap of faith and keep your job. You know, what mm-hmm. I did was incredibly ambitious. And if you're able to do it, 100%, go right into it. But if you need to work your job and work towards something else, do both. Sometimes you have to lock in for what you really want, what you're really passionate yeah. about, and you have to put in that effort.
Yeah,
I agree. I had an ex's mom once tell me something on that, basically saying, you know, what you're doing right now isn't forever. And it was always like just my personality. I would say, okay, I'm going to do this. So this part of me is now dead because I've become that now. And you just hit it perfectly, man. And like, sometimes it requires keeping that old job while you build the embers of this new thing that's coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. It's a safe way to do it too. And I think yeah. if I could go back again, that's probably the route I would have taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. Good. Man, yeah. You're firing me up, man.
God, I'm glad. That's what I want to do.
You're telling me everything that reminds me of like exactly why we do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was, I remember when you first told me that you wanted to be a trainer. And I remember there was a lot of like hesitation on your end. Like you were just like very reserved about it. But I remember that we had like a ton of conversations about this career decision and this choice for you. And yeah, there was a lot of like, I know, questioning on your end of like, am I doing the right thing? And I think that's totally normal for like any major life change, right? There's always going to be some questioning of doubt, some questioning of decisions. And I think it's important to just ensure that you're surrounding yourself with the right people when you're doing that kind of thing, because somebody's influence on you could drastically impact what you do or don't do.
Yeah.
And Ashton, have you seen any, since you made this decision, have you seen like things just kind of start falling into place for you, you know, like now that you're working towards what your true passion is here? And like, I found that people I've talked to in the past, as soon as they take that leap, like that leap seems to be the most important thing. That first decision to start the momentum rolling. And then, yeah, you'll encounter friction, but that friction is there to really sharpen your skill set for what you're trying to do. But anytime it's happened, there's these little things start working out that really seemed like huge sticking points when I was just beginning the journey. What's that kind of experience been like for you?
So, you know what? It's hard to say because everything that's happened since I've made this jump has all been positive. I haven't had any real big negative drawbacks or friction or anything like that. It's been nothing but improvement, improvement, improvement. I am overall so much happier than I would have been a couple months ago. And that's the biggest thing to me. I'm working with people right now, just helping them out, giving them little coaching lessons, and they're helping me learn while I do this. And man, do I ever feel fulfilled in my life? I've always jumped around from job to job. Oh, well, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do this. And like, when I finally made that leap, quit my job, started the CamFit Pro training, I felt fulfilled. For once in my life, I felt fulfilled. I felt happy. I was like, this is where I need to be. Like, it all just clicked. And every day, you know, you ask what's falling into place, it's all falling into place.
Hell yeah.
There's not a moment where I wake up and I go, did I make the right decision? Should I call up my old job and ask for it back? When I'm in there and I'm working with people and I'm helping, you know, old coworkers, friends, some family, when I'm doing that, I'm like, oh my God, I'm in my element. I'm in my zone. I was having a conversation with my buddies the other day, and I'm a pretty goofy guy. I like to make people laugh. I'm never super serious about anything, but we got on the topic of fitness and just how you feel when you're walking out of the gym. And I went on this probably 15-minute conversation with one other person, and my other buddy pipes up and he goes, I don't think I've ever heard you so locked in your life.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, and that made me think right at that moment. I was like, oh my God, yeah, I'm making the right choice. I've never been this locked in on anything I've ever done.
How is CanFit going for you?
It's going good. It's yeah, going pretty
it, it
good.
It was a grind for me, man. It was a grind.
It's definitely a grind. You know, it's a good way. So, like, you can go to Nate, obviously, do their program and pay whatever it is to get in and do that for, what is it, Bryce, 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah, it's 2 years.
Yeah, I so you can well. Go through yeah. Nate and do that. But if you're making that leap like I did, you might not have that 2 years. So I went right into CamFit, and thank God I had an amazing instructor. Her name's Susie. I cannot pronounce her last name for the life of me, so I'm not going to try. Yeah. But, you know, she was able to guide me through everything and give me the tools I needed to succeed.
Nice.
And it was definitely a grind. I haven't done serious school in years, you know, haven't taken a real test in years. And when I sat down in front of that test for the first time, and there's 75 written, 75 multiple choice, and you got to get 120 to pass, 80%. Oh my God. Dude. Was that ever terrifying? And like I said, I'm honest, I bombed it the first time.
Me too, man.
I bombed it. And, you know, it's four classes that you get, and she tries to give you as much information as she can, and she gives you what pages you got to go and read and what resources. But it's a grind, and it really shows me that I wanted this. I put myself through that grind. I put myself through that struggle to get to where I am right
now. People think CanFit's just like, oh, I want to be a trainer. Let's go take a weekend. Like, I was working as a trainer in California in my second year of the Nate program and just challenged the CanFit exam. Just thinking like this, like I had like these bros like, oh man, don't worry, you're in, you're out, it's done. It's like you're basically just like coloring in muscle groups. I filled it three times, man. Three times. Already working as a trainer, out like doing the Nate thing, like and just show not doing any of the information, not getting an instructor, just going up. And then the fourth time, I was like, I'm not doing this again. So yeah. I did it the right way. But yeah, man, CanFit's no joke. And yeah, some, like, I would say the greatest business. Trainers I know are CanFit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's always cool to share that too, because like every trainer that I've talked to that's like successful, we'll air quote that, whatever successful means to them, isn't really like a scholar, like isn't really like good at exams, isn't good at tests, but they're very kinesthetic, you know, they're very good with hands-on work, and they're good at the movement side of things and the coaching and the people skills, right? But it's interesting how like most people that I've just chatted with, yeah, they're not good when it comes to tests, just because there's so much anxiety with tests, right? Like, and it doesn't even matter how much you study, how much you prepare, like you need 80% to pass. That's a high percentage to pass, right? And like you got 150 questions, like it's no joke.
Yeah. And you don't know what the questions are going to be on. You don't know what your case study is going to be. You go in and it's like, I hope you read the whole book, because here's everything that you need to know. Yeah. Answer the questions, you're like, oh, God.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, and you're lucky you get a good instructor, like you mentioned, too, that, like, loves her job, is passionate about that and is like willing to help you. Cause I mean, like, I think the instructor that you have or the mentors that you have can be obviously quite pinnacle on how you do as a trainer, or like your first experience into training, right?
Yeah.
You know, we look at the start of your journey here, becoming one of us. What a year from now, what does success in this field look like to you?
A year from now, what does success look like to me? Working the job.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Having more than a client. If I could have four clients by the next year, yeah. Awesome. Bro, awesome. Done. I'm doing it. You know, this, just like how I was told when I first started getting into fitness, this isn't a race, it's a marathon. This career is the same thing. It's not a race, it's a marathon. You're going to have to work and work your way up and keep grinding. Don't stop. And in a year, you know, I just hope that I'm doing what I'm doing to the best that I can do it. You know, I'm pushing it to the limits. I'm giving everybody everything I can, avoiding the burnout, which I think I won't have a problem with. I'm a very social person and I'm really excited to get into this. And just progressing, making the progress to the point to where I can be a solo trainer and do this on my own. And I don't need to be at a box gym. I can be at whatever gym with my clients, training them how I want to.
Yeah, we're big fans of that private life. Mm-hmm. That private, we both were in box gym situations. I've been in a few, we've been private a couple different places, but it really is, you know, you can't beat it. You truly can't beat the private experience. And the social, we haven't talked about it, but like test smarts, you need a bit, you need an understanding of the body. Obviously you gotta have the passion, but like people skills, that's the biggest thing I've seen for make or break. You could have like the Libraries of Alexandria in your head on what to do with kinesiology. Then if you can't communicate that or be able to recognize how that your client needs to be communicated to, it's going to bomb. And we see it all the time. You see it. You can see that lack of, I know at the gym that Bryce and I used to work at, I was in a management position there and I'd see all the emails come in that were never knocks on like the knowledge or that. It was just like, we stand there and stare into darkness for an hour while they tell me this. And you're like, you're on a podcast, man. You obviously know how to talk, you know?
Yeah.
So things are shaping up and it's going to be exciting to see how it's worked out for you, you know?
I'm also excited to see how it's going to work out for me. I don't have any doubts that it's not going to work out in a favorable way.
Of course. And what's a perfect Ashton client?
A perfect Ashton client. That's a good question. thinking about a person who's willing, cool. Willing to come in, willing to put in the effort and just willing to try. You have to want to try. I've always said to anybody that I've ever helped, the hardest part is just going through the doors of a gym.
Big time.
That's, you have to have the will to do it. So the perfect client to me is the client who is willing to do it. I'll take on anybody and everybody if I can.
And are you going to
have you realized that that this ideal client for Ashton is an old version of yourself?
Yeah. Now that you say it, yeah. Yeah.
Mic drop.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I never thought of that. That's crazy. Yeah. That is an old version of me.
I don't even want to say anything after that. I'm done talking. That's perfect. And I
know
said it and I saw a million examples of it. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like that's what happened. All of a sudden I'm training me when I was there and I was 26 when I started and I was just like, oh my God, I thought I knew everything. I knew nothing. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah. No, I had that pinnacle moment when I was working with like my business coach that I'm working with now. And he was like, he made us do this sheet and it was like putting in like your ideal client. Right. And I was like filling this whole thing out. And I was like, oh my God, this is me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's the point. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just wanting to train like an older version of myself. Like when I was a damsel in distress and when I needed support, when I needed direction, when I needed somebody to just be there in my corner and like help me, like that was it. It was cool. And like, that's why I wanted to mention it to you today. Like when you were willing, man, like if you weren't willing, you would have stopped.
I would have stopped.
The first puke.
Yep. I was just going to say the first puke. Yep. I would have stopped right then and there.
So yeah, like that's lean into that hard and just, you know, I think if you go with that mindset into training, there's no way you can't be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta find the right people.
Yep. Absolutely. Just gotta find willing people.
Yeah, there you
now,
go.
This is something I wish someone would have told me at the start. And I've had this problem in my life before. Not even a problem, just something to work through. But they say, you know, when you make your art and your passion, your job, there's friction there. Because the gym has been an escape for a lot of us from life, right? Where we can work out problems in our head, where we can just become better versions of ourselves. But when that becomes your job, some of that sacred, your temple of the mm-hmm. gym, it starts to shift a little bit. And I know, you know, I have some really good trainers in the city that they won't work out at the gyms that they work out because it's just, or that they work at, it's impossible. They'll have to go to a separate site. Mm-hmm. So is there any thought you put into that and how, you know, like, what if this starts to become that grind, you know, is that passion still going to be there?
I've definitely put in the thought to that. And I thought, you know, cause you always hear when exactly what you said, when you start working at something you love doing, it's going to turn into a bit of a slog, you know, now it's your job. But for me personally, I look at this as my whole life changed because I started working out. And when I'm done that 8-hour day and I still have to work out myself and I'm at a gym already, I'm not going to worry about it. Mm-hmm. The temple isn't just a building. Yes. Okay. I work in the building and I work out in the building. At this point in time, that sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah.
I don't got to drive and go somewhere else. I'm done work. I can start working out right now. Yeah. Awesome. I used to drive 45 minutes from my job to get to Bryce to work out till 7 o'clock at night, to come home, eat dinner, go to bed, get up, do it all again.
Oh, yeah.
You're telling me I'm done my job and I could just start working out?
Yeah.
Right on. You know, yeah, that's
great point.
that's like heaven to me when I think about it.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I always tell people, like, when I'm programming their clients of mine, I'm trying to work around their jobs and where they're going to fit the gym in. I forget that. I'm like, well, it's so easy for me. I have to be trying not to work out,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I'm in there all the time. I'd have to legit choose to get out of there or else it's just going to happen naturally.
Yeah.
It's like a conscious decision. Sometimes you have to just tell yourself to let off the gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It I can't say enough great things about the career though. And you meet just people that are like-minded, like you, like friends for life that you have that are like, they were very different. And you know, the section of people I know are band people and trainers. And there's a very much like just different attitude than, you know, your general population of, and there's nothing wrong with anyone, you know, pursuing careers that are just, and I don't even use the word safe, they still have to work at it, but that, like, you know, you go, you do your time, that's it. And then it's fun time. I know people that work great in that framework, but mm-hmm. not us boys.
Nope.
Now, there's something to be said about pursuing something that's a little bit volatile, right? You definitely have to make it work. And you have to be in it for the right reasons, because there's going to be times where you do face adversity in a couple different ways, right? And you're going to be tested, and you're going to sink or swim. You're going to figure it out, or yep. you're going to resort back. And I think a lot of people, maybe they're not in it for the right reasons and have a strong enough why, and they don't stay in it. But yep. I think, you know, talking with you a lot, like I know that you're in the right field. And like, I've told you that too. Like I've told you many times, like when you've been like, ah, fuck, this did not go as I wanted it to go. I'm like, no, you're in the right thing, dude. You're in the right thing. Like, just keep going, keep trucking, like just day by day. Right. That's all that really matters. And then here we are. So
I know we've touched on it a little bit, but I know when I would be listening, like, let's say I was, you know, going through pods and I saw this topic and it was something that was in my mind. What's that sound bite? Like what, here's, let's pretend it's me and, oh my gosh, I'm working at the Sobeys warehouse, did it. And I'm thinking about being a trainer. What do you got 2 minutes to tell me? What do I do? How do I make this decision?
You need to decide if this is something you really want to do. You know, if you are working at that Sobeys warehouse and after Sobeys, you go to the gym, you talk to all the other trainers, you talk to other people who are working out and you enjoy being in that gym more than anything, more than your job. Like for me personally, my job would offer me overtime and I'd say, no, I gotta go work out,
dude.
I gotta go socialize. This is my fun time. You know,
that's how you know right there. This is my,
that's how you know what it is. That's how you know to start making that decision to get out of that Sobeys warehouse.
Now, Ashton, I have another question for you.
Okay, shoot.
You can't put a bench press in the back of your shot. And for anybody that's watching this, this is for you guys too. Can we get you to max out on that for us?
It only goes up to 80, but yeah, I can do it.
How many reps, how many reps you got for us there?
How many you want?
What do you want to give him, 20? I have been holding this in since the start of this pod, boys. I need him to go max out on there.
You just hit, what did you hit yesterday? 265 for three?
I did 265 for three yesterday.
Oh, so you got, yeah. Okay, give us 20 at 80.
20 at 80?
See that muscular endurance. Okay,
you got to let me, you got to give me a minute. I got to pull it away from the wall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll narrate this, man. Don't you worry.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah. For all the Spotify listeners.
All right. Yes. So he's just getting up here. He's got, it looks like some oil he's putting on his muscles. Is that what I'm seeing? Moves the whole bench good? At like one this? Pull. Dude, that's good? Perfect. That's okay. Perfect.
Rock's all fucked up.
All right, this is the best. And God. At worst,
move some other things.
Yeah, that's cool. Worst
yeah,
case
no
scenario
problem.
Here, we're
going to
get a
fail. You know, when I
brought it
into the room, I didn't think this was going to be an issue.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Called it
worst
in
case,
from downstairs.
Worst case scenario, we'll have some good content.
Oh, so man, small. This is awesome, dude. Show us what you got.
This is...
It's okay. Up. Clean
one. 1, 2.
Yes.
3.
Get it.
4.
He's not slowing down.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
There's half. 12. We're going to ask him a question as soon as he comes back and blacking out. 17, 18, 19. I want 20 more. I want 40. 21, 22, 23. Yes. 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 9, 30. 10 more, brother. 10 more. 2. Oh, there we go. There we go. Heck yeah. All right. Right back in
oh
that hot seat,
God.
Dude. Let's go.
Like, that much room in between the bar. More triceps than anything.
I was going to mention that you look a little bit wide for that bench.
It's very small.
You were doing like tricep presses there. That's all.
Yeah, you can't get any wider.
Heck, the guy's not even out of breath.
Not yet.
Just chilling. Chilling. All right. Well, perfect. And again, yeah, I should preface this or... not preface anymore. I was watching hours of fail videos before with this pod, so I saw an opportunity there, but no.
You were trying to get a fail.
I wasn't trying to. I just
I don't even know how many you did. I lost count at 10 and I just kept going.
I think it was 32.
32. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked for 40, yeah. But it's not like a big deal, man. I'm just joking. Just joking. Hell yeah. Okay. Right back in. What did you love about that bench?
What did I love about that bench?
No, that's awesome, man. I had to do that. I saw it there and I had to do it.
That's great.
So to, I guess, quickly wrap this thing up. For yourself, what are you looking forward to the most when you're getting into personal training? What's the one thing that you're looking forward to the most? Yeah, I don't know how else to add to that.
I am looking forward to learning things that I don't know. You know, I like to think I'm at a good point and I know everything that's going to go on and I know what to expect, but I'm really excited for the unexpected.
Yeah, great attitude. Have you thought about if there's going to be a specialty that you'd like, or is it just going to be everything?
I think for right now, I'm just going to try and branch off into everything. I've been doing a lot of strength training myself.
Heck yeah.
So I might go into that and help people with strength training, but I would like to be able to cover a majority of categories other than bodybuilding, because I know very little when it comes to it.
Yeah. All you gotta do is watch Pumping Iron Man.
Okay.
Best
yeah.
movie ever. Yeah. Hell yeah. No, I'm really looking forward to see where it goes for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's like I mentioned earlier on the pod today, like it's been, to put it lightly, cool. Very cool to see you grow and change and you develop your why and you understand why you're in this and get clarity on what you're doing for the right reasons. And the biggest thing too is like see you mentally get very resilient, see you physically obviously change, but then also too like see you get less attached to the physical components of this too, because I think when we first started, like that was like all that mattered.
Yeah,
was that you had this body that she would see a picture of and she would just like immediately want you back and you'd be like, nah.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas like, it's been cool to see you just change and for that to like all, you know, all of a sudden not be a thing that you're wanting anymore. You just have realized like how much fitness can actually change your life,
mm-hmm.
and you've been in it for the right reasons. And I think for me, that's been really cool. And also just seeing you want to get into personal training. I think that's been very surreal for me, is just seeing the impact that somebody can have on someone else, which is
and cool. I hope that one day I can have that impact on others too.
You will, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, big time. Hell yeah.
So for those of you that want to see Ashton bench press probably more than 80 pounds, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Ashton_Bootsy, or you can follow me on my TikTok, which is also Ashton_Bootsy.
Yeah. Nice. And you'll likely see me in some of the videos, or you'll see him just bench pressing more than 80 pounds.
Hopefully more than 80 next time.
But
every time I see you in real life, I'm going to request a certain amount of reps now.
Okay, sounds good. Bet.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Right. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, thank you.
See you, dude.
See ya.